Warning, what you are about to hear is not appropriate for any audience. It will cause emotional pain. Rated PGD. Pretty good if you're dead.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 148, Reduced Sex Scenes.
And after a long night, looking at the sky, everybody needs a break, and so do I. So I go in my room, reach upon the shelf, grab my favorite magazine and myself. My Venus and Uranus. I'm in a trance. Maybe I have a chance.
There's the kissing scene in Romeo and Juliet, the Hitler-Kahn love duet from the complete Millennium musical Abridged, and some hints that perhaps Scrooge and Marley were more than just business partners in all the great books Abridged. But we're not talking about sex scenes in RSC shows. This week we're talking about some of us reduced actors who've been lucky enough and embarrassed enough to do some sex scenes in other shows. Matt Rippey, Mick Orff, and I were talking about this recently in the dressing room, and I will give you fair warning. We try to be discreet in terms of how we talk about all this, but the following conversation includes childish euphemisms and a giddy adolescent excitement that is shocking and, frankly, nauseating.
Gaseous particles. I tell my mom I buy it for the articles.
The reason I got into this business was to meet girls, right? The reason, isn't that the reason we all get into? I mean, I suppose if you're gay, you get into it to meet guys, or girls if you're a girl, right? But I'm a straight guy. I got into theater to meet girls. And my one of the very first things I ever did was I was in a production of Bells Are Ringing in high school. I was in ninth grade. There was a big party scene. The director said, all right, now we need a couple making out over here in the corner. And some junior girl grabbed me and said, we'll do it. So we were just making out on the stage against the stage left proscenium the entire length of this scene, and it was timed. It was like 2 minutes and 13 seconds because the trombone player in the pit was timing it every night. Wow, that was the longest kiss any of us had ever seen. It was certainly the longest kiss I had ever been in, and she and I started going out for 2 years. Anyway, I wonder how that works. That's what they call a showmance, I believe. Showtime romance?
Showmance with tongue or without? Stage kiss, are we talking?
You know, it was mostly a stage kiss, but then on the second weekend of the run, I think it got a little more Frenchy. You know?
Right, as your relationship developed and she began to trust you.
Yeah, as our relationship developed into the second day. So that was fantastic. And then I was an extra in the movie of More American Graffiti, and the exact same thing happened. This crowd scene, the second unit director, second AD, said, all right, we need a couple making out right here. You, Curly, you, Blondie, go. And it was literally like, oh, hi, I'm Austin. Hi, she said whatever her name is. And action, and boom, we're just suddenly, I'm just suddenly making out with a stranger. Fantastic.
The stranger, whatever her name is? Is that what you just said?
Whatever her name is.
You better hope she's not listening to this, Austin.
She does. I'm sure she didn't remember my name. I mean, it was...
She might. She might be doing a podcast right now telling the story, going, that Austin Titchener, I wonder where he is today.
You know, you're probably right. There is an entire podcast dedicated to the extras from More American Graffiti.
Right.
Professionally, you know, I play doctors and lawyers. Well, I got hired to play a lawyer, obviously, it was a pilot called Naked Hotel. It was basically a hotel in paradise, and all sorts of stories go on in this hotel. That was the point of the pilot. And so I was hired to play this lawyer who checks into this hotel in drag to meet his lover, who also arrives, a woman dressed as a man, and she's carrying a violin case. And then when I dressed up in drag, the whole entire hotel staff knows that clearly this is probably a man in drag. Maybe he's in disguise. And that my character also
was the spitting image of some terrorist on a FBI top 10 wanted to, which I also had to pose for that picture as well. They didn't make me pose for that picture. So
I take it you weren't sporting this goatee that you've got.
I was not sporting this goatee right now. So then we get to I get to my room. I take off my makeup and wig and dress and whatever, and get into my fancy lawyer suit. And then my lover arrives, and she takes off the hat, and her hair falls away, and then she rips off her fake mustache, and we don't know. I think the idea was you're supposed to think, oh my God, they're terrorists. Oh no, they're lovers, and then we just go into this clinch, this kiss, which was fantastic because I never get to kiss anybody. You know, guy my age, guy looking like me. That didn't happen to me. So then,
was she hot?
She was very hot. She was very, very hot, and had clearly in her past done a lot of. She played the hot girl on a lot of things, but she was a hot. 40-ish. You know, it was fan-tacky-fustic, as they say. Oh, just great. And
with tongues?
I was just going to ask the same question.
No, not with tongues. But, so this pilot, it was supposed to be this sort of racy pilot. I think it was going to be for Fox. But this racy pilot had three sex scenes. There was the hot sex scene with the hot couple doing it in the elevator. And then there was the kind of disturbing, sad sex scene with one of the girls who works at the hotel, kind of having an affair with this man, this guy who's staying at the hotel, and she shouldn't be, but she's doing it for all the wrong reasons. And that was like, ew, don't do that. And then ours was the funny sex scene. And so all we had to do, they locked the camera down sort of in the corner of the room. There were no close-ups or anything. It was just roll around on the bed, have athletic sex, slam the wall, you on top, her on top, everybody on top, just rolling around. I was just in my boxers. She was in this fantastic, teddy kind of thing. It was, and they were paying me.
Dude.
I assume they had to pay her a lot more, but but they were paying me, and I'd have paid them. It was just, the other part about that was that when they were filming the hot couple in the thing, they just got this hot young couple walking around, and I went, the guy is shirtless and he's just got this six pack of abs, and I went up to them,
like me,
like you, Mick, and I go up to the makeup lady and I said, wait a second. How come the abs you drew on that guy are much nicer than the abs you drew on me? And I had to, and I really pumped up and worked out for this pilot because I knew I had that scene, and I knew I also, they had to prove that I could play the violin, so I had to play the violin shirtless after the SWAT team comes in with guns pointed at us, prove that you can actually play that violin.
Dude, well, I obviously, this is on what network? I watch TV enough, man.
Not only did the pilot never sell, not only did it never air, my sex scene was cut out.
I know,
so I don't even have the footage. I got the footage of the kiss, but I don't have the footage of that.
The least they could do when they left it on the cutting room floor was scoop it up, put it in an envelope, and mail it to you.
Man. If only for my hope chest of memories.
To show the grandkids, this is what Gramps did back in the day.
Hi, I'm Beth Troutman from Fox News Rising, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
It is that time again. Time to nominate the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast for the 2009 Podcast Awards in the Cultural Arts category. If it's before October 18th, 2009, as you're hearing this, please go to podcastawards.com and nominate the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast in the Cultural Arts category. Just put our name, our website, reducedshakespeare.com, your name and email, click submit, and you're done. And then please pass the word via your Facebook or Twitter or email or blogs or SMS messages, however you go about word spreading, please do that for us. Please make sure that fine, high-toned, serious cultural arts podcast programming continues to thrive and mold young minds. And now, back to Matt Rippey telling us about his fake sex scenes.
Well, my this was talk about a way to launch your TV career. My very first TV gig, big TV gig.
Yeah.
With a real part, with a character name, and 7 weeks shooting a 2-hour Christmas special of Jonathan Creek.
Which is a UK TV show.
UK TV show. I think you might be able to catch it on UK Gold or whatever in America. So I show up to my first day of shooting, and it is the sex scene. So talk about throwing me in the deep end. They said I get, you know, I get my sides for the day and the order, the shoot list, and I'm like, okay, right. So it's straight in there, so to speak, with the gorgeous and wonderful actress Mary Tam, that many Doctor Who fans will recognize from. She was one of the early Doctor Who women. Gorgeous, and for me, I'm an older woman, and obviously been in the industry many years. This sort of thing was, you know, this was nothing for her, just a day at the office. But for me, I'm wetting myself, and I'm like you, I was sent to the gym, man. All you have to do is read that script when you get cast, and it says, so they're having sex, you know, close-ups on back end, and you're like, whoa! Okay, so, you know, I thought I was ready for it. I don't know how you mentally prepare, but they escort me onto the set, and I'm like, okay, great. I'm all kind of nervous, saying hello to people, and then they say, okay, we're going to do a little rehearsal, so everyone gather around, you know, DOP, lighting guy, everyone gather around and do a little rehearsal. And I'm like, great. And so I, while no one was looking, I took off my clothes. And I think the runner looked at me, saw me standing there in my skivvies and said, mate, this is just rehearsal for camera. You can put your clothes back on. No. Okay, so I put my clothes back on.
Hey, fresh meat, rookie.
I know. Hoping no one's looking. So, yeah, so we rehearse it. But when you rehearse for camera, it's for camera. Nobody talked about what we were going to do, what the, you know, whether, what, you know, how long, whether it should be steamy.
But that seems weird because I hear that most sex scenes are highly choreographed. There's going to be a hand here, a kiss here. The camera will be focused on this part.
Yeah.
You didn't have that.
No, none of that, man. They just figured, well, maybe they were happy with what they got,
right,
so in rehearsal. So then we go away, we come back, we get in position, she's lying on her back, and I kind of, you know, I get on top of her and then kind of bump Rudy's with her, so kind of go, whoa, sorry, Mary, why don't I just scoot over to the side like this and just kind of hump your legs, so that way we're not, you know, bumping Rudy's.
Yeah.
And she said, whatever pleases you. She said, I'm just going to lie back and think of lunch. And so then...
That's a pro for you. Always a pro.
So they say go. We start, you know, going after it, and we shoot for I don't know how long. It felt like forever. And then they say, great, cut, and we're moving on. Mm. But then I thought, well, but we, you know, we didn't kind of reach
that point,
fruition. Yeah, I thought, you know, did you need that? Was that, you know, was that, do we need,
was that good for you?
Was that good? And the director said, it's the BBC, we don't reach fruition on the BBC. so that kind of threw me into it. And you'd think that I would have been, you know, that experience would have prepped me for what just happened a few months ago. I got cast in something that's going to be coming out. I think the series might be playing in America. It's called Secret Diary of a Call Girl.
I think that's on Showtime.
Is that happening? Yeah. So, second season, I very luckily get cast to play an American businessman who is apparently one of Billy's Piper's favorite.
Billy Piper is the lead, and she plays a call girl in this Diary of a Call Girl.
Yes, right. And apparently I'm one of her favorite customers, so I give her a text. She gets all excited.
Which seems so true to life, but that's a whole other podcast.
I mean,
get to the fun part.
It's nicely juxtaposed. There are two scenes unfolding at the same time. There's Billy and I having fantastic Hollywood sex, and then there's her friend and another girl that he picked up, and everything's going wrong. He's tripping over his undies, bumping his head. Everything's going terrible. So it should be quite funny.
That would have been my role.
Yes, but yet again. No rehearsal, no talk of what to do. All they said was, no pressure, Rippy, but this has got to just be fantastic, primo sex. I'm like, oh no. Okay, and so Billy said, well, let's make this easy for you. Do you want to rehearse? She was so sweet about it because, you know, for her, she said to me, it's not my first time, so what do you want to do? And I said, well, what do you usually do? Like, do you find... you know, do we rehearse it or should we just shoot the rehearsal? Because it could be great. And she said, let's shoot the rehearsal. So I was like, okay. And they said, okay, you have to come over here because we're going to put on a sex pouch.
A modesty patch, sex pouch.
Yes, a modesty patch.
Yeah, we didn't have this issue. Well, what is that? That's just that's explicitly, specifically to cover your naughty bits.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the first I knew that I was going to be Starkers. Stark naked.
Right.
I had no idea. I mean, I figured it's, you know, it's television. How much can they show? But
Showtime they show quite a lot in the States.
Of course. Well, so I go over to the side into a little side room with the makeup girl, and the makeup girl holds up the little pouch and says, "I'm going to stick this on," and I went to take it from her as if thank you, you know, I'll put that on, thank you very much, mm-hmm. and she wouldn't give it to me. She was. It, apparently, it's her job.
And I, to apply the modesty pouch.
Yeah, and I thought...
At least they didn't have to get a grip to do it or something like that.
Yeah. So I said, well, let me have a try here. Just you give me the double-sided sticky stuff, and I'll try the double-sided sticky.
Yeah.
And in the end, I couldn't do it. And she's had experience. She's been putting sex pouches on people all season long. So, so there we were. Me kind of standing with my arms out, her down there sticking it on, and I'm thinking, wow, what a strange job I have. Did I get what, Mac?
I know what you're going to ask, Mick.
Yeah. No.
A, was she hot? And B, did you get it?
Yes and no. To answer your questions sequentially. The pouch is on. I put my robe on. I step out. She's Billy is already in position, lying on the floor because I've, and in the previous scene, I've pulled her off and onto the floor. And so she's lying there. She's got what she called her sex towel. So she doesn't wear the pouch. I'm probably giving away too many secrets. Sorry, Billy. She doesn't like.
But I'm sure that she's not the only one who does this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think she doesn't like the double-sided sticky stuff.
Yeah.
And so she has a towel as protection and wearing nothing else, covering her upper bits with her hands. And so they just go, Rippy, I'm just hop on top. Oh. I get down and
no, talk about no foreplay. I mean, just it's so businesslike.
Yeah.
And do any of these people give a darn as they're standing around?
Not really. They're so bored of it. I mean, maybe they were excited in the first episode, season, but you know, we're into the second, halfway through second season. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Nobody cares.
So they don't care. They're like, yeah, just get in a position. They've got two cameras, and I see the one camera that's over here where I can see it in front of me, and I'm like, where's that other camera? Where's that other camera? And I turn around, and it's like really low and behind me, like it's just shooting right up. So I turn to the...
It's your personal butt cam.
Yeah, my butt cam. I turned to him and said, hey, man, you don't want to be pointing the lens of that up my cocoa valve, and which Billy enjoyed.
Valve?
Yeah. And so then they say, okay, and rock and roll. Let's go. So we start moving, and then almost immediately I make the mistake of moving my shoulder and revealing a Billy boob. And they're like, nope, can't do boob, can't do nip. So they're like, okay, Rippy, shoulder. I'm like, oh, okay. And then like, okay, but now you have to go back to moving. You have to move. You're having sex. I'm like, oh, okay. So I go back to moving, and trying to get into it. We didn't really talk about whether or not lips, tongue, any of that stuff. So I'm having a nibble on an ear and trying to be as sexy as possible. But then as soon as I start getting into it, they're like, Rippy, boob. I'm like, shoulder, right? Okay, shoulder over boob. And then.
So are you feeling her boob with your shoulder?
No. My shoulder was covering her boob. It was for camera. I just had to. We can't see.
You just had to block the camera.
Yeah, blocking. No.
And you're nibbling her ear. Is she nibbling yours?
No. Yeah. But she's doing a really good job of pretending to enjoy it. And and then at one point they said to me, because I'm thinking about all these different things and covering the boob and the positions and where the camera is and do I look sexy? And at one point they said, Rippy, you haven't thrusted yet.
Oh, golly.
And I just, through all of this, I forgot that technically I'm supposed to be making love to her. Uh-huh. And that would involve certain hip action. And because my brain was thinking of all of these things, I had forgot to to do any butt thrusting. So then I've got two people, one going, Rippy, shoulder, boob, and the other going, Rippy, more thrusting. So to answer your question,
yes.
No, there's absolutely nothing sexy about doing a sex scene.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. We'll hear about pretend sexual exploits from McOrff, Reed, Martin, and other RSC actors, despite popular demand. Send us your sex scenes via email to feedback@ReduceShakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com. Just click on Forum. You can also find us at Facebook.com, MySpace.com/ReduceShakespeare. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/Reduced. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Dirk Diggler, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. You also heard an excerpt from Heavenly Bodies from the Complete Millennium Musical Abridged, available from ReduceShakespeare.com and iTunes. Lyrics by Reed Martin and Austin Titchener. Music by Nick Graham. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Glenn Smith. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Beth Troutman from Fox TV in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we'll be playing at the Blumenthal Center for a week at the end of October 2009. We'll also be playing Meadville College in Pennsylvania and Duke and East Carolina Universities in North Carolina. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for more venue and ticket information. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 148/144th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And all I can think of, I mean, after that experience, all I can say is when you are at home or at the movies, you're watching a great sex scene, mm-hmm. and it's actually, you know, making you a little bit hot and sweaty under the collar, well, then they deserve an Oscar. There should be sex scene Oscars, because if anyone can make it look good, then that, my friend, is acting.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.